Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Southern Tier Radio Theater, an hour of old-time radio for your listening pleasure. I'm your host, Jake Longwell. We'll begin this week's show with an episode of Life with Luigi. This sitcom ran on CBS Radio from 1948 to 1953 and follows the adventures of Luigi Basco, an Italian immigrant who immigrated to Chicago, and every week, Luigi writes a letter to his mother back home in Italy, and those letters are the basis for this radio show. Other key characters on Life with Luigi include his friend and fellow Italian immigrant Pasquale, and Miss Spaulding, an English teacher who is teaching Luigi and other immigrants at a night school class, and Luigi has quite an affection for Miss Spaulding, as you'll hear. This is a broadcast from November 16th of 1948 on the Columbia Broadcasting System, and it's entitled Luigi Attends a PTA Meeting. It's Life with Luigi on the Southern Tier Radio Theater.
From Chicago, we invite you to enjoy life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring J. Carroll Nash. A year ago, when Luigi Basco left Italy to start his new life in America, he promised his mother that he would write her and tell her about his adventures. So now we look over Luigi's shoulder as he writes another letter to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, how you like the news from England? Princess Elizabeth, she have a little boy. So now England, she's really a mother country. In the last letter, you say you're surprised that my English writing is so good. I explain to you why. First thing, when I come to Chicago, I go to night school at night. I wish you, Mamma Mia, you could see my teacher, Miss Spaulding. She's got beautiful eyes like a Mediterranean. Her hair is gold like a sun over Alps. And her shape. Mamma Mia, if Italy isn't in such a good shape, they don't need a Marshall Plan. So you see, Mamma Mia, I'm studying very hard because I don't want to be like our countryman Pasquale who bring me here. He is here 26 years, and all he knows is two words, money and rosa. Is it too bad that she is not worth her weight in gold? She's so fat, Mamma Mia, that if a fella marries her, he is a commit to bigamy. But this morning, I'm not thinking about Pasquale Rosa. I'm talking to my 12-year-old general manager, Jimmy O'Connor, who is like my son. And I'm helping him with his lessons before he goes to school. I say to him, what are you doing, Jimmy?
An algebra problem. It's pretty tough, too.
Stop looking for the answer in the back of the book. Is it not honest? Read me the question and I give you the answer.
But is it honest if you figure out the answer for me?
Don't worry, I won't. But I try. Is all common sense. Now read me a question.
Okay. If Tom can dig a ditch in 2 hours, and Harry can dig the same ditch in 1 hour, how long would it take Tom and Harry if they dig together?
Oh. What answer it gives in the back of the book?
You told me not to look.
That's right. We use the common sense. If Harry digs the hole in 2 hours.
No, Tom digs the hole in 2 hours.
The same thing. Later they're going to dig the hole together, so it makes no difference.
Well, never mind, boss. I'll figure it out in school.
Never put off a Jimmy is a bad habit. We figure out by common sense. Tom digs hole in 2 hours. Harry digs the same hole in 1 hour.
Right. How long would it take Tom and Harry if they dig together?
It's a funny thing.
What's funny?
Just 2 weeks ago was election. Harry stands still and Tom digs his own hole. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Maybe it's a little hard to figure out by common sense.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Luigi. You helped me with my American history.
It's my favorite subject. Jimmy, you're a lucky boy you're born here.
Frost, do you really wish you were born in America?
Yes. And next time I'm born, I know better. Jimmy, it's getting late. You better go in the back, have a glass of milk, and go to school.
Okay.
Well, I think I dust off my antiques. No, better I put dust on antiques, makes them look older.
Hello, Mr. Luigi.
Good morning, my teacher, Miss Spalding. It's a big pleasure to see you.
I was on my way to school, so I thought I'd drop in for a minute.
It's a wonderful idea. Look, our whole place will light up because you're here. Please, sit down on this Teddy Roosevelt rocking chair.
Why do you call it a Teddy Roosevelt rocking chair? It has no arms and it's rather hard.
Teddy Roosevelt was a rough rider.
Well, I'll take this chair. It seems more comfortable.
Fine. It's also a good chair. American mahogany, Duncan Five Star.
Good. Then I can be patriotic and comfortable at the same time.
Is it all right if I sit next to you?
Well, certainly it's all right.
Thank you. How's the business, Miss Spalding?
Well, teaching school can hardly be called a business.
But it must be a wonderful thing to be teacher. Everybody, they love you. They respect you. I bet you all the kids in your class, they're crazy about you.
Yes, but they have a quaint way of showing it.
What do you mean?
Well, Mr. Basco, did you ever spend a day dodging spitballs? Or did you ever shake hands with a piece of bubble gum? Or were you ever hit by a jet-propelled eraser?
Miss Spalding, your life, she's in danger.
Well, it's not as serious as that, Mr. Basco.
Well, if the kids do bad things, you tell me, Miss Spalding. I teach them respect.
Oh, no, Mr. Luigi, we don't use force.
Then how you punish them?
Well, occasionally we keep them after school.
Miss Spalding, do me a favor. Please punish me, huh? Now, that's a better. Don't be sad no more. All you need, Miss Spalding, is same thing everybody needs. Somebody who's saying nice things. Especially if somebody is a nicer fella. If I'm 10 years younger. Miss Spalding, and if I have a big store like a Marshall and Fields, then I buy you the whole store and the school and I give you for Christmas a present. Then I go there every day and I hold your hand like this and I say, good morning, my beautiful teacher, Miss Spalding.
Mr. Luigi, I could kiss you for that.
Boss, I finished my milk.
Jimmy, go back and drink two more quarts.
I didn't know you were here, Miss Spalding.
Yes, so I am. I just dropped in. In fact, I'm leaving. That's right, we'll walk to school together, Mr. Luigi. I mean, Jimmy.
Sure.
Goodbye, my teacher, Miss Spalding.
Goodbye, Mr. Luigi. Will I see you this afternoon?
You see me anytime you like, Miss Spalding.
I mean, at the PTA meeting.
PTA? Are you on a relief for Miss Spalding?
No, PTA means Parent Teachers Association. Didn't you give Mr. Luigi one of those notices, Jimmy?
I forgot.
Why you forget such a thing, Jimmy? Should I go, Miss Spalding?
But, boss, it's mostly mothers.
So what? I'm like a mother to you, Jimmy. Miss Spalding, is it true that is all the mothers at the PTA?
Well, the odds are that you'll be the only man among 30 or 40 ladies.
That's a wonderful odds. Well, I dust my statues. See you this afternoon at the meet.
Jimmy, why didn't you tell Mr. Luigi about the PTA meeting?
I just told you. I forgot.
You're not ashamed of him, are you, Jimmy?
No, of course not. It's only that...
That what?
Oh, nothing, Miss Spalding.
You better tell me, Jimmy.
Well... It's just that you don't know Mr. Luigi like I do.
What do you mean?
If there's more than two people around, he thinks it's his duty to make a speech.
That isn't true, Jimmy.
Oh, yes, it is. At the July 4th ball game between our scout teams, he made us stop the game so he could read the preamble to the Constitution. And this was with three men on base.
I think that's very commendable.
And you should hear those speeches he makes to the statues. Yesterday, I heard him talk to the statue of Patrick Henry all about liberty and death. At the end of an hour, I swear I heard Patrick Henry say, "Give me death."
Well, I'm sure no such thing will happen this afternoon.
Don't be too sure, Miss Spalding. He's so good-natured and he's so happy to be invited someplace that he'll wind up serving the food, making a speech, taking tickets at the door, and finding out if the people are related to the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
I just don't believe it, Jimmy. Mr. Luigi just wants to participate in civic activities. He wants to feel that he belongs. The PTA meeting this afternoon will help round him out.
Sure. And flatten out everyone else.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale. I come over to ask you a little favor.
Sure. Everybody who comes to my spaghetti palace, they call it a favor at the place. What do you want?
I have to go to Jimmy's school this afternoon.
What's the matter? The kid in the trouble?
No. I must make a speech.
Then the whole school's in the trouble. What's the for you want to make a speech?
You don't understand, Pasquale. It's Parent Teachers Association.
What's the matter? You crazy. In the first place, you're no parent. In the second place, you're no teacher.
Then I must be association.
You go too many places, Luigi. Always a running like a little mouse. Stay home. Mind your own business.
Is my business what happened in school?
Who asked you to make the speech? Jimmy?
No.
Is it Spalding?
No, it's my own idea.
You're going to make a speech.
Well, what's this so funny?
Listen, Luigi. Right now, everything she's a fine between the United States and Italy. You make a speech and the whole war starts up again. Please, keep your mouth shut.
Is a free speech in the United States or so I speak?
In the second place, Luigi, this meeting is for ladies, not for men. What before you go?
Maybe I meet the nice American lady.
It's only mothers ago, not the single ladies.
So is maybe nice widow lady.
Widow lady? What's the matter with my daughter, Rosa?
She's not a widow.
You marry her now, we see what happens later.
Pasquale, I'm not the comer to talk about Rosa.
Luigi, my friend, why you don't want to marry my Rosa? Just because she's a little bit chubby?
Little bit? Mamma mia, if I marry Rosa, it's not a marriage, it's a project. But no more talk about Rosa.
All right, we don't talk about Rosa.
Thank you, Pasquale.
Luigi, isn't that the parent that teaches a meeting for children's mothers?
Maybe. But Jimmy, he was born 12 years ago. He has no mother.
Rosa can be his mother.
She's 12 years too late.
Then what do you want from me?
When I go to meeting, please take care of my store.
All right. I send a Rosa.
Oh, no. Is it like a bull in China shop? Never mind. I close up place. I put out sign to help yourself. Goodbye, Pasquale.
Hey. Wait, Luigi. You gonna go to a PTA meeting like this?
What's wrong?
Look at the way you look. Look at your suit. You're the only fella in Chicago who's wearing a green jacket with a 6 buttons in the front and a belt in the back. And look at your pants. Where's the crease? Only bumps.
That's from keeping pants under the mattress. I don't have other suit.
Then stay home. Why you must always go places?
Maybe you're right, Pasquale. Maybe I should buy a new suit. But I don't got the money. Pasquale?
No, I only lend money to son-in-law.
That's the trouble. Whenever you lend the money, it's got a strings attached. Rosa's apron strings.
All right, go ahead. Go to meet and let the fine American ladies laugh at Luigi Basco. Sure, even a Jim is ashamed of you.
It's not true. Jim is no ashamed.
Then why Miss Spalding invite you, not the Jim?
Jimmy forget, that's why.
Sure. Well, don't bother me. I'm not lending you no money. Only suit I buy you is a wedding suit. What do you say, my son?
Goodbye, Papa. Excuse me. Is this place you sell suits?
Yes.
You have suits here for speech making?
Oh, yes, indeedy. Just had a shipment returned from the Republican National Committee.
Good. Show me suit that's good for speech making.
Oh, you want something in tail?
I'm going to make a speech and not hang from tree.
Yes. Well, will you give me some idea? Do you like this suit I'm wearing?
If I take your suit, then you'll have to go home in underwear.
No, what I mean is, do you like this pattern? It's a herringbone.
Herringbone?
That's right.
Is a fine country where they make suits from herringbones. Must take a lot of little herrings.
I've never counted them. Perhaps you'd like a businessman suit.
You mean he lent me his suit? I like my own place.
Well, sir, for what purpose do you want this suit?
I have to make a speech at PTA meeting this afternoon. Maybe you like to come.
Oh, no, thank you. I couldn't stand the excitement. Tell me, is it formal or informal?
It's inside in school.
No, I mean, do you have to dress?
I'm only man there. Of course I got a dress. This is PTA meeting, not Turkish bath.
Well, sir, could you go for this suit? It comes with two pairs of pants.
Is it no good?
I know, two pairs of pants would make your legs look too lumpy.
Then why you try to sell it to me?
Because I'm just a great big sneak.
Oh, this is a nice suit here, this is a brown one. But why is pants so short?
Because it's a Boy Scout suit, and you get a knife with it.
How many blades?
I can't tell you, it's a military secret.
Look, please. I like a suit for making speech. You know, 47 years ago...
Of course. Well, why didn't you say so? Here's just the suit for you. It's our Gettysburg Address model.
Is it good enough for Abe Lincoln? Is it good enough for Luigi Pasco? I... Take it.
For the second act of Luigi Vasco's adventures in Chicago, we turn to page 2 of his letter to his mother in Italy.
So, Mamma Mia, I buy myself suit for PTA meeting. Now all I have to do is pay 50 cents a week. In 1 year, I own a coat. In 1 more year, I also own pants. Pants is striped. And the coat is empty in the front, but in back it sweeps the floor. It's called a cutaway. This is what I do when I come home after meeting, because it's enough material in back of coat for extra pair of pants. I also want to bring a present to ladies at the meeting, so I take a new thing called money order that I get from lady customer, and I go to post office to cash it. Excuse me. You the postmaster?
Yes, I'm in charge of this branch.
You're just the man I want to see. I just received this paper from a lady.
That's a money order.
See, fellow who worked for you in gray suits, he tell me if I bring it here, you give me $10. Is it this right?
Yes. Have you any identification?
What do you mean?
Well, something to prove you're Luigi Basco. Have you a driver's license?
I don't even have a car.
Citizenship papers?
I know all the answers to questions, but I must wait a couple of years because...
Marriage license?
I'm single. If you know a nicer girl, I...
Yes. How about a birth certificate?
Is home in the family Bible.
Could you bring that?
Can't afford to take a trip to Italy just enough. If I get a money order for $1,000, then I go and I bring. But for $10, it's...
Well, you'll have to show me something.
What if nobody looks, I show birthmark under the ankle.
No, that won't do. Isn't there some way you can prove that you're Luigi Basco?
Mr. Postmaster, every morning when I get up, I look in the mirror. There I am.
But, Mr. Basco,
It's very simple. I prove the whole thing. Are you Luigi Basco?
Certainly not.
That man over there on the line, is he Luigi Basco?
Probably not.
And the lady over there, is she Luigi Basco?
I doubt it.
Then is it left only you and me? Are you Luigi Basco?
No.
Then who are you talking to?
I don't know.
I'm surprised you don't know me, Mr. Postmaster.
But why should I know you?
Because all the time I'm in this country, this post office handles all the letters I send.
Well, I give up. You're Luigi Basco.
Sure, I told you that first. You save a lot of time by not arguing with me.
I'll never do it again. Here's your $10. I'm sorry I ever took a civil service examination.
Don't feel badly. From now on, I buy all the stamps from this post office. Goodbye. America, I love you. You like a papa to me. Come on. Hello, Pasquale.
What do you want now, Luigi? More favor?
This time I do you a favor.
It's about the time.
You do me a favor, I do you a favor. Like Uncle Pietro say, if one hand is dirty, wash your both hands.
Please, don't bring your relations into this conversation. I'm a busy.
Pasquale, how much you charge you for spaghetti?
With or without the meatball?
Without.
Cost more without the meatball. 65 cents a plate.
Not by plate. How much you charge by inch?
What, are you crazy? I never sell it by inch.
Then maybe you sell it by foot.
No, no. Smallest I sell is a yard.
How much is a yard?
For you, 10 cents.
Then how much I get for $10?
I think maybe you get a half a mile. Let me see. Is it 10 cents a yard? Is it 10 yards for $1?
See?
$10, you get 100 yards.
Okay, give me 100 yards spaghetti.
What do you mean to give? No money, no spaghetti.
Maybe I open a charge account with you.
You give me $10 a box, a cash of money, then you open a charge account.
All right. Here is a $10.
Hey, where you get this?
Post office.
Since when is the post office giving away money?
It's a new thing. Lady send me a little piece of paper. I take the post office. I get the money. So now I buy spaghetti.
What are you going to do with all this spaghetti?
I bring it to PTA meeting.
Oh, you're still going to the meeting, eh?
Sure. I buy suit, I prepare speech, and now I bring the spaghetti.
That's a fine, Luigi. Look, here. I give you a couple of hundred of cards for my restaurant, and you give it to all of the ladies.
I'm a speaker, not a spaghetti salesman.
Well, when you speak, talk about this.
My speech is about education.
My spaghetti is very educational, Luigi.
But I don't know about spaghetti. I don't even know why they call it spaghetti spaghetti.
That's a foolish. Is it long like a spaghetti? Tastes like a spaghetti? That's why they call it a spaghetti.
I don't think I do this, Pasquale.
I give you 10 yards extra, just in case the spaghetti shrinks.
Excuse me. Is Mr. Basco in?
What's the matter? Jimmy, you don't recognize me?
A cutaway. Is that you, Mr. Luigi?
Sure. Look like a movie star, huh?
Where you going?
To PTA meeting, Jimmy.
No!
Yes, and I bring them spaghetti and I make a long speech. You and Miss Pauling will be so proud of me, you won't know what to do. Oh, I'm late. Goodbye, Jimmy.
I know what I'm going to do. Join the Foreign Legion. Hello? Miss Pauling, please. It's important. Mamma mia. Miss Pauling? This is Jimmy O'Connor. It's worse than I thought. He's all dressed up like a pallbearer, and he's going to make a speech that's full of statistics, and he's bringing a pot of spaghetti. Miss Pauling? Miss Pauling!
Oh, really, I think this is wonderful that you could hear me this afternoon. Oh, Miss Pauling, this is quite an audience. It looks like the finest PTA meeting we've ever had.
What was that, Mrs. Pringle?
Yes, I said that it looks like
the finest. Oh, yes, it does.
Good afternoon, Dr. Cartwright.
Well, it's nice seeing you again, Mrs. Pringle. I look forward to hearing you speak.
Oh, Dr. Cartwright.
Yes, Mrs. Wilson?
There's a man in a cutaway coat outside with a big pot of spaghetti.
Well, it must be a waiter who's made a mistake. Certainly no one here has ordered...
Hello. You're Dr. Cartwright, the principal, huh?
I am, but I didn't order any food.
I bring it. This is my present for PTA meeting. Here.
Ouch!
Excuse me. I put it on the table. Maybe you don't know me. I'm Luigi Basco.
You have a child in this school?
Sure. My boy Jimmy O'Connor. He's a pupil here.
So that's why you came.
Also because Miss Spaulding invited me to make a speech.
Miss Spaulding did what? Miss Spaulding?
Yes, Dr. Cartwright.
Did you invite Mr. Basco?
Hello, my teacher, Miss Spaulding.
Hello, Mr. Luigi.
Miss Spaulding, I prepared a short speech.
Well, Mr. Basco, I'm afraid there won't be any time for your speech.
That's all right. I wait.
The meeting will come to order. Will the ladies please find seats?
Yes.
Mr. Basco, I must ask you to sit down.
I promised Pasquale I'd give out his cards. Is his spaghetti.
Mr. Luigi, how could you?
Is all the people here live in the same neighborhood, and maybe they give Pasquale a little business. Is something wrong, Miss Spaulding?
No, no, everything's just fine.
That's the way I feel it, too.
I shall turn the chair over to our good friend, your chairman, Mrs. Wilson.
If he turn over chair, she'd fall down.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Me too.
Yes, of course. Now, before we proceed, is there any old business?
I have all the business. Antiques.
Our first speaker is Mrs. Nelson Pringle. She will speak on our school system.
Spaghetti, is it getting cold?
We must have order. A great many of you may not like what I have to say, particularly about this school. As you know, my son is a pupil here, and I must say, from personal observation, I should think that our teachers here must recognize the need for greater discipline. If there is rowdyism, and we know there is, if our children find their excitement in the streets, then I think our teachers are at fault. And I suppose...
Please, I'd like you to say something.
We don't matter, Luigi. I had the floor. We must have order.
Mr. Basco, please go quietly and quickly.
First I speak, then I go.
That's the person who brought the spaghetti.
Oh. Yes, ladies are right. I bring a spaghetti. It's because I think maybe you like. I make a mistake. I don't do this again. Excuse me. But it's not important now anyway. Is important what the ladies say about teachers. I'm only in this country a little while, and I don't know about schools like a lady. Also, only teacher I know is Miss Spaulding. And it's not her fault when the kids fight. Maybe it's the parents' fault, not teachers, when the kids fight too much. If my Jimmy come home with a black eye, that's my fault. I don't teach Jimmy right, but I try. I tell him this is a wonderful country because all kinds of people here and children of all kinds of people. Little children, they don't know what it means to hate, to hurt. They learn about this from us, not from a teacher. All little children know is love. So it's up to us older people to show them. It's like old saying. Apple don't fall far from tree. We show them at home. We explain. Then they know. That's why. If it's bad, the children is not teachers' fault. It's sometimes parents' fault. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Miss Luigi. Gee, you didn't stay long.
I think maybe too long.
Did you make your speech?
No. You're a smart boy, Jimmy. You know what was going to happen at the PTA meeting, huh?
No, boss, I... Was it really bad?
It was worse than that, Jimmy. I make a bigger fool...
Mr. Luigi.
Hello, Miss Spaulding. I'm sorry, I make you so ashamed.
Ashamed? You were wonderful. Your speech was inspiring.
But I think I look so foolish in this suit.
Well, it was a little too formal. Boss, I'm proud of you.
I'm glad, Jimmy. And you know something? I was the only mother in a cutaway coat. So, dear Mamma Mia, I'm now a member of Parent Teachers Association. From now on, I go to all meetings. Who can tell? Maybe next year, I become a president. Then I be first the president of a woman's club. Also, Mamma Mia, I sell my cutaway coat to Pasquale. He is putting a suit in Rosa's hope chest. One more thing. Today, I'm sending letter to man with the problem. How long does it take for Tom and Harry to dig a hole if they dig a hole together? I'm sending this letter to only man who knows the answer. John L. Lewis. Yes, your loving son, Louis.
Be sure to listen next week at the same time over most of these stations when Luigi Basco writes another letter to Mama Basco describing his adventures in America. Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production and is written by Highcraft and Cy Howard and stars J. Carroll Nash as Luigi Basco with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Music is under the direction of Wilbur Hatch. Ladies and gentlemen, the grand prize for solving the secret sentence on the fast-moving CBS quiz show Hit the Jackpot is now worth the staggering sum of $22,000. Contestants in the studio and at home will have a chance to compete on Hit the Jackpot. Tonight, Bill Cullen will give you more clues to the secret sentence. Hit the Jackpot a little later tonight on most of these same stations. Bob Lamond speaking for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Life with Luigi, an episode entitled Luigi Attends a PTA Meeting, as heard on CBS in 1948. Many fans of classic television no doubt recognized some of the voices in that show. Alan Reed, who voiced Pasquale, was the original voice of Fred Flintstone from 1960 until his death in 1977. And I'm not entirely sure, but I believe the postmaster was Jim Backus, who, of course, was the voice of Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island and Mr. Magoo, the famous cartoon character. Old-time radio fans, of course, know Jim Backus as Hubert Updike, as part of the Alan Young Show, which we featured on the Southern Tier Radio Theater before. Of course, you are listening to the Southern Tier Radio Theater. We present sounds from radio's golden age every week at the same time on WRFA in Jamestown, WETD in Alfred, and also on Omnimedia out in Portland, Oregon. And thanks to all three of these fine stations for carrying this show. We're going to move on now to an episode of The Halls of Fantasy. I don't know much about this broadcast. It was an obscurity that I found while doing research as far as putting together these Southern Tier Radio Theater shows, trying to determine which programs to feature. And I ran across this little oddity. I'd liken this show to mystery and thriller shows like Suspense or The Mysterious Traveler. This is a broadcast from the 19th of January, 1953. It's a syndicated program, was carried by various independent stations or aired by stations that weren't airing network programming at the particular time that they aired Halls of Fantasy. And for this episode, they adapt an Edgar Allan Poe work. Here is The Cask of Amontillado.
And now, The Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Cask of Amontillado.
Fools and cowards, Montresa. Fools and cowards. What I say about your ancestors is true, Montresa. Every last word of it.
That fat, dull-witted fool, Fortunato. That he should dare to insult the names of my ancestors. For that I swear, Fortunato shall die.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Cask of Amontillado. And now for our story. Adapted for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled The Cask of Amontillado.
As my story begins, it was carnival time in Venice, a time of feasting and merrymaking. Fortunato and I had been celebrating with all the rest. Perhaps we'd indulge our taste for wine too greatly that day. But that was when it began. The day was almost spent, and we were standing in front of my house watching the crowd.
Ah, yes, my friend. The carnival has been a great success.
True, Fortunato. Did you know that it was one of my ancestors who made the plans for the carnival over four generations ago?
What?
Oh,
Oh, come now, Montresor, you're not serious.
He's no joke, Fortunato. It's in the records of the family for any who wish to see.
Ah, I cannot believe you.
He was one of the foremost swordsmen of his age. In fact, all the male members of the family were renowned for their ability with a foil.
Even you, Montresor?
Yes, my friend, even Montresor.
With those spindly legs, you a swordsman?
Take care, Fortunato.
What? You dare frighten me? How do you like it, Montresor? How do you like the point of my rapier at your throat?
Fortunato, please.
You fancy yourself a great swordsman. It's so funny, Montresor, to look at you all white in the face. So frightened. So brave. I do not know about your ancestors, Montresor, but you certainly have made this carnival the funniest in a long time. A great swordsman. I bid you a brave farewell, Montresor.
Then that I began to hate Fortunato. He turned and disappeared through the crowd. Though he was gone, the echoes of his spat, laugh in his face remained in my brain.
The great swordsman!
I went into the house and thought to see no more of him that night. Little by little, the remaining hours of the carnival wasted away until finally I heard the great bell striking midnight, marking the end of the celebration. I sat in the library reading, but the printed words refused to be silent and rearranged themselves into a likeness of Fortunato's face.
So brave, Montresor. So brave.
My mind was playing tricks on me. That I knew. But of a sudden, a shadow fell across the pages.
Hey, Montresor.
Fortunato. How did you get in?
Don't be alarmed, my good Montresor. One of your servants was so kind as to allow me entrance.
What do you want?
Oh, come now, Montresor. You wouldn't refuse a good friend the hospitality of your house, would you?
I forgot it's past midnight. The wine shops are closed.
Yes, quite true, Montresor. So I came to you.
May I offer you some wine?
Well, I hope you would.
Yes, I imagine you did. Here, Fortunato.
Many thanks, Montresor. There's nothing like fine wine. That's why I like you so much, Montresor.
Why?
Well, no matter what you are, your wine cellar is filled with the finest of wine.
Thank you for your compliment, Fortunato.
But there's one wine you do not have.
That is?
Amontillado. Someday I hope that you will procure some Amontillado.
Amontillado is the rarest wine in all of Italy, Fortunato.
But for your friend, Fortunato, you might perhaps get some?
We shall see, my friend. Now you were about to leave?
Yes, Montresor, I shall leave. But before I do, pour me another glass of wine. I drink to the great swordsman in your family. You needn't lie to me about your family, Montresor. I know them for what they are.
And that was?
Fools and cowards, Montresor, all of them.
What you say of my ancestors should be well-tempered with thought, Fortunato.
No, it was, Montresor, it was.
Fortunato, if you... No matter. You're drunk. You're not responsible for what you say.
Drunk? I never drink enough to muddle my brain, Montresor. I mean what I say.
Just the same. I'll excuse you this time.
Why, excuse me? What I have said is the truth.
I think perhaps you'd better leave.
Yes, my friend, I shall leave. But before I do, however, may I ask if you're going to the party tomorrow night?
Yes, I am. Why?
Merely asking. Of course, Rosita will be there.
Yes, I know.
Lovely girl, Rosita.
Yes, I know.
I shall be going.
No, I shall accompany you to the door.
No need, my friend. I'm steady enough to make it myself. I'll see you tomorrow night, Montresor.
Yes, tomorrow night.
Oh, and what I said about your ancestors still holds true, Montresor. Oh, and Montresor, don't forget the Amontillado.
I decided to let the insult pass this time. But if it occurred again, I would settle the score with Fortunato. The next night, I was with Rosita at the ball.
It's a lovely party, Montresor.
Yes, Rosita, and with you here, it's all the lovelier.
You flatter me.
It is deserved. Rosita.
Yes?
I've been observing you closely of late, Rosita.
Indeed?
Yes.
And do you find me pleasing?
Well, you know I do. I was hoping...
Oh, well, here you are, Montresor. Out in the balcony.
You thought
you'd lost me, huh? Well, listen, it'll take much more than you to outwit me, Montresor.
I wondered where you were, Fortunato.
Oh, indeed, Rosita? Well, of course I do not doubt it. Montresor is such a terrible boor.
I
do not like that. Old family were boors, and therefore you cannot help it. Can you, Rosita?
Sure that I...
Forgive me for bothering you, Rosita. I have come looking for you in the hope that I may have the next dance, Rosita.
But I promise
you... Don't let me worry you, Rosita. Dance, dance with Fortunato.
Are you sure you don't mind?
Only too sure. Montresa doesn't mind. How can such a doll as he mind anything? Shall we go, my dear? Goodbye, Montresa. Enjoy yourself.
Never did I think he would go so far as to insult me before Rosita. To deliberately interfere between Rosita and myself to... I knew then that Fortunato would pay for his insults. For I hated him more than anyone else on earth. It was then I swore that Fortunato would die.
Back now to our story. Adapted especially for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled The Cask of Amontillado.
I determined then to even the score, to revenge the desecration of my name, of my family honor. And immediately into my brain flooded a host of ideas to destroy him. What were his weak points? How could I catch him at a disadvantage? If only I could lure him down into the catacombs beneath my house. Few people knew of the vast subterranean caverns that lay beneath the house. But how to get them there? Let me see. Something he said might give me a clue. Something he said.
Fools and cowards, Montresa. Fools and cowards.
No, not that. Something else.
And what they said about your ancestors still holds true, Montresa. Montresa, don't forget the Amontillado.
The Amontillado. The Amontillado.
Don't forget the Amontillado.
Yes, that was it. The Amontillado. The cask of Amontillado. Wine drinker, was he? A connoisseur of fine wines, eh? That was it. That was the way to accomplish my revenge. Amontillado, the rarest wine in all of Italy. Fortunato would die for a glass of Amontillado. Yes. Fortunato would die for a glass of Amontillado. Accordingly, a few days later, I sent him a message saying I would like to meet him at his favorite place of entertainment and wine merchants in, of course. I waited anxiously for his answer. Yes?
A message for you, Signor Montresor.
From whom?
Signor Fortunato bade me give it to you.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Thank you for your tidings, lad. Here's something for your trouble.
Oh, thank you, Signor Montresor.
Fortunato had agreed to meet me on the morrow. My nerves were tense and the time moved so slowly. I sat by the hourglass the entire night and part of the next day watching the grains of sand mark off the time. Finally, when I knew I could bear to wait no longer, the time arrived.
Ah, Signor Montresor.
Oh, good day, Ferroni.
I was just leaving. Signor Fortunato was over by the window. Confidentially, Montresor, I'm glad you're here. When he's had too much to drink, he's a destructive man.
Well, I shall take care of him, Ferroni.
Thank you, Signor Montresor. While I'm gone, and if you want something, just call my wife. She's in the rear.
Thank you, Ferroni.
Good day, Signor Montresor.
So you come in, Montresor. Come and join me.
I'm quite glad you could meet me today, Fortunato. I hope I didn't inconvenience you by asking you to meet me here.
Absolutely not, Montresor. If you had, I wouldn't be here.
What are you drinking?
Sherry. Will you have a glass?
Yes, you can pour me a glass of sherry.
Well, I assure you, my friend, it's the very best. There you are. Excuse me, Montresa. I have a cold.
You should take better care of yourself, Fortunato.
Okay, it will pass. Well, then, tell me, what did you wish to see me about?
Perhaps I better not mention it.
Well, come, Montresa. Don't tell me you wanted to see me for nothing.
Well, I wanted your advice on something.
Oh? What?
You see, I have procured a cask of what is supposed to be Amontillado.
Amontillado? Where? When? From whom?
That I cannot tell you, but you see, I have my doubts about it.
A cask of Amontillado? A whole cask? It sounds impossible.
I agree with you, my friend. It does sound impossible. Perhaps I was foolish to pay the full Amontillado price without consulting you in the matter. But you were not to be found, and I was fearful of losing a bargain.
No, I can't get over it. Amontillado.
I have my doubts for
you. Amontillado.
And I must satisfy
you. Amontillado.
I had contended with Lucchese. If anyone should know, it should be he. He will tell
you. Lucchese is a fool.
But
he cannot tell Amontillado from the common sherry.
And yet some people say his taste is a match for your own.
They lie.
Well, that is a matter of opinion.
Well, they lie, I tell you. Lucchese is an imposter.
I think I'd better be going.
I'm going with you.
My friend, no. I will not impose upon your good nature.
You will not go to Lucchese. Montresor, are you insulting me?
Why, no, Fortunato. I merely thought...
I care not for what you think. I will go with you.
It is really your cold that I worry about, Fortunato. It is damp in the cellars. Very damp and very cold.
It matters not to me. This cold is a mere nothing. But Amontillado. I must know if you've been swindled. Montresor.
Yes?
Forget about Lucchese. He knows nothing about fine wines.
As you say, my friend. Shall we go? When we reached the house, there were no attendants present. I'd made sure that we'd be entirely alone. Before we go downstairs, my friend, let us fortify ourselves against the cold and dampness with some wine. The catacombs would undoubtedly make your cold much worse.
Yeah, a capital idea, Montresor. A little sherry, if you please. Yeah, not too much, but not too little either.
I have no fears, Fortunato, my friend. It'll be just right.
Yes, yes. Let me have it. This makes me feel better. Much better.
Have another glass, Fortunato.
No.
Please.
Well, on second thought, Montresor, yes, I will have another glass.
I thought so. Here you are, Fortunato.
Yeah, many thanks, Montresor.
Drink heartily. Who knows, you may not be alive tomorrow to enjoy it.
Yes, Montresor, how right you are. What a sense of humor you have. But I intend to be alive tomorrow. But then, who can tell, huh?
Yes, who can tell?
Back now to our story. Adapted especially for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled The Cask of Amontillado.
We finished the wine and sat talking for a few minutes. Then, seeing his eagerness was at its height, I led him to the archway that led down into the vaults. We passed down a long and winding stairway. At length, we came to the foot of the descent and stood together on the damp ground of the catacombs of the Montresors. Here we are, Fortunato, in the catacombs of the Montresor.
Yes, but the cask of Amontillado, where is it?
It is farther on, Fortunato.
See, the walls of this place are so dirty. I hate to be caught down here.
How long have you had that cough?
It's nothing. Let us proceed.
No, we'll go back. Your health is precious. You'll be ill and I'll be responsible. We might even become lost. Besides, there's always Lucchese.
Enough! The cough is nothing. I shall not die of a cough.
True. True, Fortunato. You will not die of a cough. I had no intention of alarming you unnecessarily, Fortunato, but you should use the proper caution. And there's a bottle of wine on the rack here. Let us have some to make you forget the dismalness of this place.
Yes, by all means. It's so damp and cold down here.
Sorry, I have no glass to offer you.
No, don't stand on ceremony, Montresor. Here, let me have the bottle.
Here.
This is the family crypt, is it not?
Yes, this is the crypt of the Montresors, an ancient and honorable family.
Yeah, well then, I drink to the buried that repose around us.
And I drink to your long life.
Yes, that's a good toast. In my long life. You know, Montresor, these vaults are extensive. What would happen if we were to be lost down here?
I will not be lost, Fortunato.
Still, perhaps we should go back.
And leave the Amontillado?
Well, we could return another time.
You're afraid? I can always get the case.
No. Let us proceed to the Amontillado. After all, we shall only be here for a little while.
If you insist, Fortunato. If you insist. Coughing grew worse, but I said nothing. I could see he was not quite so enthusiastic about finding the Amontillado.
We passed through a range of low arches, descended, passed on, and descending again, arrived at a deep crest.
Hey, Montresa. Where is the Amontillado?
Amontillado? Oh, yes, in the crypt, Fortunato.
I can't. Where?
In that low crypt ahead of you.
Why, it's just tall enough for a man of my size.
Yes, isn't it?
But I do not see the cask of Amontillado.
Oh, but you will, Fortunato. You will. You wouldn't want to turn back now, would you? A man of your courage.
I will not have it said that Fortunato is a coward. Now then, just where is the Amontillado, Montresa?
Lift your torch a little higher, Fortunato. You'll see it.
Where?
Just inside this niche, Fortunato. Just inside.
Why did you...
Why did I hide it here? You forget Amontillado is the rarest wine in all of Italy, Fortunato.
Yes, you're wise, Montresa.
Now, Fortunato, herein lies the Amontillado. As for Lucchese...
He's a fool. Yes, Amontillado. A whole cask of Amontillado.
Yes, go in. Get to the Amontillado, Fortunato.
Yes, the Amontillado. This rock is in the way.
Put your hands up high and push, Fortunato. No, higher. You should have seen the look of terror on his round face. He could barely move. The crypt was just the right size for him. Just the right size for him to die in. Then I began to work. I began walling up the entrance to the niche in which Fortunato was chained.
Montresa, what are you doing?
Even a dolt can understand what I'm doing, Fortunato. Even a dolt such as Montresa.
Please, Montresa, don't wall me up in here. I didn't mean the things I said. Please, I promise I shall leave Rosita alone.
Yes, Fortunato, you will leave Rosita alone.
Have mercy, Montresa. I'm sorry for what I said.
It's too late, Fortunato. Too late to make excuses. I had barely finished with the first tier of masonry when I discovered that the effect of the wine had worn off Fortunato. He began shaking his chains in an effort to throw them off.
I'll get loose, Montresa.
Do you know good to take those chains? They're strong, Fortunato. I made sure of that.
Montresa, look. I'll give you anything you want. Rosita, money, 1,000 lira. Anything at all, anything.
No, Fortunato, I find this payment enough.
Montresa, please. Please have pity on me.
Pity, Fortunato? You ask for pity? I have no pity for you.
For the love of heaven, Montresa!
His head was twisted over his shoulder, watching me as I piled brick upon brick. With each stone I put into position, his eyes took on a look of increasing terror and torture. He made little sounds in his throat. I continued my work. I had finished laying the 7th tier of rocks before I paused to rest. The wall was almost upon a level with my chest.
Tell me someone! My fingers trying to kill me! Help me! Anyone know?
You make sound all you wish. No one can hear you.
Someone will know that you took me. But they'll find me even if I'm dead. And you'll be punished.
Few people know of these catacombs, Fortunato. And those who do are my friends.
Yes. This is a very good joke indeed, Montresa. Who would have thought that you had such a sense of humor? But don't you think your little joke has gone far enough? We will have many a laugh over it as we drink our wine, eh?
I will have many a laugh over it, Fortunato. I don't think you'll be able to laugh.
Montresa. Montresa, you can't be in earnest.
So much in earnest that you'll die for it, Fortunato.
Please, Montresa. Please, please, Montresa.
He began to scream. But then, after a while, he was silent. His eyes watched every move I made. With a great deal of effort, I raised the last stone and
shoved it into position. I waited for a few minutes and then called to him. Fortunato? Fortunato! Dear me, where is Fortunato? I look about me. So dark down here. So depressive. So cold and damp. I must remember to stay away from here. I might catch Fortunato's cold.
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
The Cask of Amontillado, as adapted for radio by the Halls of Fantasy. And they did a fine job with that Edgar Allan Poe classic, I think. That broadcast a syndicated program from January 19th of 1953. I hope you enjoyed that. And so we come to the end of another edition of the Southern Tier Radio Theater. Jake Longwell thanking you for your company this week. And I certainly hope you enjoyed the show enough this week that you'll be back next week, when we will again turn back the clock and listen to some classic sounds from radio's golden age. A reminder that if you want more details about the programs we feature on each show, you can always consult our playlist. If you missed any details that I gave as far as the show, the episode, the date it was heard, or the network on which it was first broadcast, you can get all that info by going to the playlist at our website, which is stradiotheater.angelfire.com. That's STRADIOTHEATRE. That R-E is very important. Make sure you include that. .angelfire.com. And while you're there, not only can you view our playlist, but you can also download every edition of this program from the first show back in September right through to the present. They're all there, and I would certainly encourage you to download these shows and share them with your friends. Maybe if there's someone that you know that would enjoy these great radio classics that aren't even aware that they exist. So you can download the shows, view the playlist, and also find out how to contact the show. Contact me directly if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions or requests for old-time radio shows. Again, ST Radio Theater. .angelfire.com. And I will be back again next week, next Sunday morning at 9 on WETD, Alfred State College, next Sunday afternoon at 5 on WRFALP, Radio for the Arts in Jamestown, and next Friday at 6 p.m., 2 a.m., and 10 a.m. Saturday morning Eastern Time on omnimedia.org for another edition of the Southern Tier Radio Theater.